Welcome to Soundprint. I'm Lisa Simeone. Pay attention, do well in school, study, work hard, be a good student, get good grades, and you too will be successful in life. Those are the exhortations we always hear, and we often give our children. Do all these things, we say, consistently, and you'll get into a good school, get a great education, and thus be prepared for whatever you want to do in life. Certainly sounds like good advice. It's advice that a young boy named Sam took to heart. Polite, well-behaved, intelligent, he excelled in school, especially in music, where his teachers said nobody could touch him. He was simply the best. So far superior to his fellow students, they said, that he could get into the best music schools in the country. There was just one little problem, a problem that might keep Sam from ever getting any higher education at all. In today's Soundprint, from Long Haul Productions, we learn about just what that problem is. Here is Sam's story.
Bertha is my saxophone. I've had Bertha three and a half years, and she's old and seen some action, but she's amazing, pretty much. Girlfriend takes first place, though.
My name is Sam. I'm 18. I'm a senior here at Central, and I'm in the band and stuff, and jazz band, and I was drum major this year, and past 4 years have been great, and I'm finally, you know, ready to graduate and get out of here.
Thanks for coming to the senior concert tonight. You're in for a treat.
Tonight is our senior concert, and this is kind of like the last football games and where the seniors are, you know, awarded.
Sam has been great for about 3 years, but he's really stepped it up to the next level. And this year's William Herman Outstanding Jazz Award goes to Sam.
My name's Tim Kernel. I'm the band director at Elkhart Central High School.
This is Sam featured in a sentimental mood.
Sam is one of the probably top five musicians I've had. You know, 150 a year, I've taught for 18 years.
At first, I feel nervous, but then I'm like, dude, just let go.
He tries to, in his solo, build his solo. This is what is so advanced about him. He starts somewhere, goes somewhere, and finishes it. He tells a story.
I'm actually from Mexico, and I got here when I was five.
My name is Sam, and I'm Sam's father. We came with visa. Of course, it's expired, but we still have it.
I don't remember much, and I haven't really asked him. It just hasn't really been brought up.
Samuel, he don't know anything about it. He just came with us. We never ask him to come. He never say no, he never say yes.
I've been raised an American. You know, that's all I know. Heck, I'm playing jazz. How more American can you get?
Okay, so our first senior we want to recognize tonight, he's going to St. Joe College in Rensselaer, Indiana, with $1 million scholarship, it seems like. Kelsey Danny.
Most of my friends, oh, where are you guys going? Oh, I'm Butler bound, or I'm going to IU, Ball State, New Orleans, Hawaii.
And going to Purdue is our saxophone / tubist, Keith Hoover.
Where are you going, Sam? I haven't decided yet. Yeah, that's my crappy answer.
It was the most, in my 18 years of teaching, confusing thing, is Sam not being accepted to one of those colleges because of how well he plays. It didn't occur to me that Sam was undocumented at all, and frankly, I didn't care. My job is when the kid comes in, get him a horn, teach him how to play it.
I first found out about his legal status when I actually confronted him about it.
Michelle's my girlfriend, and she's American. She's from the South, and she's a really, really good piano player.
What drew me to Sam in the first place? Duh, he's really attractive. So that was like the first thing I saw him with sax. I'm like, oh, wow.
And I was like, wow, she's pretty cute. The guy thing, you know.
I just picked up on a few things, you know, the way his family acted and how they were, his parents were really cautious about a few things and how Sam avoided certain conversations. And one time I asked him, dude, why don't you have your license yet? And he's kind of like, well, and he gave me this answer that I didn't quite get because I'm sitting going, that makes no sense. But I didn't say anything. I was just like, you know, whatever, keep it cool. And one day I just asked him, I'm like, so your family's pretty much illegal, aren't they? And he's kind of like, and he didn't know what he could tell me because his parents have always told him, you know, don't tell anybody, which is understandable.
My mom's always been like, don't give a lot of information, you know, to a lot of people because it could go wrong. If we did have to go back to Mexico, to be honest with you, I would not know what to do because I don't know the language. I don't know how to write. I can barely speak it.
He had no clue how the life over there is. They don't know that world. I mean, if we take it over there and leave it over there, they probably die. I mean, they don't know what to do.
Today's Sunday. Like every Sunday, we start our Hispanic ministries at 5:30, with basically the whole family, you know, up on stage playing music. My mom, she sings. My brother, he plays drums. My sister plays bass. My dad plays guitar, and I play saxophone. My dad's the pastor here, and in his sermons he preaches a lot about keeping the faith even in tough times because, you know, we're never alone even though it kind of seems like it.
Y verán al Hijo del Hombre viniendo sobre las nubes del cielo con poder y gran gloria.
He does, like, pastor part-time.
Yo sé que aquí el café se toma hasta después de la salida.
He does remodeling full-time.
Pero ahora yo tengo que tomarlo a mitad.
We're in Goshen, Indiana. My dad recently just got a contract here, and this is our first job in maybe a month.
You want me to take the trim, like the bottom tiles, like the trim tile all around?
We're basically tearing a bathroom apart.
Samuel is a destroyer. He's the one who tore down the whole thing. He's good making a mess. He's a natural talent.
Things were going great, but now, like, things have slowed down. And that's kind of important to us because that's where my dad's revenue comes from. It's not to the degree where we don't have anything to eat, but it's just like there's a lot of stress in the house.
Take all the stuff out, and we need to bring the tub and begin to set it up.
I wish I was doing homework or something that doesn't involve dust and stuff, but it's okay.
Really, that is not something I want for him. For not even my kids. Work and the way I work. No, I don't want for them to get a laid tile or fix a carpet. I mean, they can be educated in this country.
My dad has said various times, you are going to college. I don't care how, we're getting you in there because you have to get an education, which I completely understand, and I get it. Because if I don't, I'm just going to be a chump. Can't be a chump. Graduation, Sunday, May 31st. That was a really, really cool day. I put on my robe and looked in the mirror. I was like, whoa, we're here. Crap.
Oh, Central High, we will be true forever to your white and blue.
I got there and I saw the rest of my peers, you know, just everybody was in blue. My counselor goes, hey, here. And she gives me my Indiana Honors Diploma medallion. And she's like, hey, congratulations, you earned it. And I gave her a hug, and I took it out of the case and put it on my neck, and I was like, ha, ha, ha.
My name is Gail Draper, and I am the head of guidance here at Elkhart Central High School. I did not know for certain until this year that Sam was an undocumented student. That's not something that comes up in conversation usually until the college application process.
The whole college process was really frustrating. When they say, are you a citizen of the U.S. or a citizen of Mexico? I'm like, I don't know. I almost feel like E.T., alien.
Because they were undocumented, they were uncertain. Do we tell people we're undocumented? Don't we tell people? Does he even have a chance to go?
I'd really hoped to go to Indiana University down in Bloomington, the biggest campus of all of them. And what they're really known for is music. But what happened was I applied a little too late, and then, you know, I had applied at another school, but they asked for my permanent residence card. I was just like, whoa, we have a problem. So right now, the only place that'll take me is IUSB, or Indiana University of South Bend.
And it's not that IUSB is a bad school, but he needs to go to a school where there's more competition. There's not that many instrumentalists at IUSB.
The other thing is that when my dad and I talked to Mrs. Draper, we found out that we really don't qualify for financial aid or loans because of my status. So I have no idea how we're going to pay for tuition.
That's probably one of the hardest things I deal with in my job. We take students where they're at, we educate them, we inspire them to go to college, and then for our undocumented students, we say, we can't help you. You can't get a driver's license, so you can't get to school. You can't have money to go to school. You can't really get a job if you're following the letter of the law. It's like a ball dropping.
May each of you have the very best of good fortune in your futures. We are now declared the class of 2009 graduated.
Next thing I knew, I looked up and there were like hundreds of hats in the air. And I threw mine up, and my first initial thought, I was like, I'm free. My second thought was, crap, I lost my hat. And so then I looked stupid looking for my hat. But when I threw that hat up, it was just like this feeling of, this is it. You jump. Now, I don't know if there are feathers or rocks at the bottom. I'm just hoping for the best. And, you know, it'll be great someday. Maybe not right now. But just keep hoping and praying and stuff and pray some more until the knees are raw.
I know that Sam is devastated by the thought of not being able to go to school. His dream is to go to college. His passion is to go for music and to be able to use that music to touch others. Will he have the chance? I don't know.
That Monday after graduation, you know, I woke up, you know, looked in the mirror, turned to my right and saw my cap and gown laying, you know, next to my bed. And I was like, whoa, what do I do now? And it almost made me sick to my stomach, you know, just where to go. And then mom was making food and she's like, hey, why don't you go to work with dad? I was like, oh.
He don't like it, really. He don't like it. He said, dad, I don't like it. What to do, tile or grouting?
Yeah, we get into the car, get materials, go destroy, rebuild, clean up. But, like, I don't want to destroy my body for the rest of my life, you know? Lately, my dad and I have been kind of getting into, you know, little altercations because he's kind of pushing me and he's saying, find a job one way or, you know, you're going with me to work.
I tell Sammy, you need to get responsible for all this stuff. If it's South Bend, I think it's like a $7,000, $8,000 a year, not living in the college. Right now, and be honest, the only thing that we have is $2,000 for him to start. I really tell him, you need to find a job too and help us out. Hey, Dad, I don't have a papers. There's 12,000 million people here that don't have papers. You're only one of them. That's it. Go do it.
Finding a job is hard enough here. I mean, one in five people don't have a job. So I know a lot of people do it, you know, under the table, you know, but I don't want to be one of those people, you know. I want to do things right.
Sometimes he feel depressed. And I remember one day he said, Dad, all my effort, 4 years working with this thing, and now what I want to do now? Why I put all this input and I'm not going to be able to keep going?
Sometimes when one of us is not feeling so well, come up here and we're like, okay.
This is the trampoline. Come on, Sam.
Sure, why not?
Sometimes I stay late at her house and we go outside and we don't really jump on the trampoline, but we just like lay down on the trampoline and look up, and depending on if there are stars or not, we just look up at the clouds or the moon.
I don't know, it's like our little island.
It's pretty sweet out here, yeah.
We sort of talk about his financial situation every now and then.
School starts in 40-something days. So I don't know how I'm going to make it.
This fall, I'm going to be attending Bethel College over in South Bend. Yeah, I'll be living on campus in the Shoup Hall freshman year. Woohoo!
I really want to live on campus, too, especially since, you know, IUSB is, what, 45 minutes away, and legally I can't drive, but for me to live on campus, it'd be another $5,000 that I have to cough up. And without financial aid, it's almost impossible. I mean, I can't really pay for tuition as it is.
It's weird what dating someone from the Hispanic culture will do to you. You start to see things differently. I mean, I used to be down from the South, and when people brought up the subject of legal immigrants, I was like, well, they're all the same. They're, you know, sneaking over the border. They're doing all this bad stuff. And then I started dating Sam, and it's just weird because people that I knew from Georgia would start posting these things on Facebook, how the government would be in so much better hands if they got rid of all the illegal immigrants and what they call, you know, anchor babies or whatever. It would get me all up in hackles, and I'm just like, I wanted to pounce them because I'm saying, well, you have no idea.
Comments like those just make me really, really upset, and just, it's one of those, I dare you to walk a year in my shoes. Not specifically in mine, but, you know, in our shoes. By ours, I mean everyday people trying to look for jobs, you know, because just trying to get a better life for yourself is not a crime. It's midsummer, and dude, I need a job. It's gonna have to be under the table if I'm gonna do something. It's gonna have to be no questions asked. It's gonna have to be a little risky, but I'm just afraid to take that step.
There's a risk that, you know, Sam could get deported. His family could get deported, and I don't even want to think about it. But you do have to think about it at times, and it gets to the point where you have to make a decision. Is that a reality that you're willing to face for the good that you'll get, or are you just going to live in fear the whole time?
I know the saying, there's no gain without risk, but there's so much to risk. I don't want my family hurt, I don't want myself hurt, I don't want Michelle hurt. It could go in different ways, so it's like a bomb. It's going to affect every single little thing.
Are you here for orientation? Are you Samuel?
Yep.
Okay, you're in Rockland School of the Arts, which is table number 2.
I don't have school paid off yet, but I'm going through orientation anyways.
Grab a chocolate, grab a Band-Aid holder.
A Tootsie Pop. I really shouldn't be eating this.
Got some popcorn.
Sweet. This is better than Halloween.
They brought you here because we have a clinic, the Health and Wellness Center. We know that about 60% of our students don't have health insurance, and we can see you here for about $15.
We don't have health insurance, so this would be awesome.
What will it cost you? Next year, roughly for a full-time student, it'll cost about $4,500 for tuition and fees. We'll factor in about $1,200 for books.
It's a little weird. It's like an expensive meal. You don't pay till later, but you don't know if you have enough money or not, so you might have to wash dishes later on.
Today is July 13th, Monday morning. I'm here at USB with my parents, and we're going to meet with Cynthia. She is helping us out with the whole college thing.
Everybody just wants to make themselves at home.
My name is Cynthia Murphy Wardlow, and for the past 5 years, I have been the recruitment and retention counselor for Latinos and other underrepresented students here at IU South Bend.
She was looking for scholarships for me, so that way she could maybe soften off the cost a little bit, but we'll see what happens.
This is the part where the rubber meets the road, because when it comes down to it, one semester has to be paid completely antes que permiten que los estudiantes sigan el siguiente semestre.
You know our situation and stuff, so, and like mom or whoever would be like driving me here every day, and like what I was thinking is it would probably be better if I stayed here, but then again, like, I wasn't sure if you found anything like to like soften up the cost or anything.
There are ways to live here. It tacks on about another $5,500 to live in our housing. They unfortunately have to find ways to pay for college on their own. You really have to get out there and put yourself out there and network and talk to people and talk to the church. You know, the beautiful thing about the Latino community, if there is a goal, then there are lots of ways for the community to participate and help students within their community. So
my mom was thinking, oh, I'm going to make a bunch of tamales and I'm going to sell them to the church. Sure. I mean, hey, that'll work. To be honest with you, I was thinking, Mom, that's embarrassing. But then I was like, okay, embarrassment? or being an idiot, you know, 2 months from now and saying, why didn't I do that? Now I can't go to school. So sometimes you have to put your ego down, check it at the door, and go in.
Hasta la próxima cita. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. We know there was a problem there that we need to face and deal with, but if it was a little bit of hope, it's not anymore, you know, because we know now that we gotta find out the way that this thing can be done. Of course, we're gonna put some of that weight on some arms because, you know, I cannot work only for Sam school because I have a rest of the family that it's gonna depend on me also.
The first year is definitely gonna be harder than the rest. There's gotta be some movement on my part. Me to find something, do something, to help myself, and a lot of things are like for me to grow up finally, and this might be one of them. Last Friday, I was just feeling really, really crappy, and I freaked out. You know, I just started freaking about like jobs and money and what exactly I'm going to do in a couple of years or in a couple of days. Sometimes I feel like a failure because I can't do something on my own. So I started picking up the saxophone because I wasn't feeling well, and then just started playing. The thing that I struggle with is, why can't I be normal? It's just like, because I can't work. I'm undocumented. I can't offer much. I have talent, but without a lot of money, I can't go very far. There was this one part where I was just playing as loud as I could, and I was just so angry about being who I am, I guess, as an illegal resident, and just like screaming, I guess, through the saxophone because I couldn't in real life. It's kind of nice to have a way to relieve it, you know, with something that doesn't involve like destroying stuff, including myself. I'm feeling a lot better since I now have a place to stay in South Bend. I'll be staying with some church friends that have a house there.
My name is Roberto Gonzalez, and I'm pastor in the Hispanic church in South Bend. Every day I see in my church the situation of the Hispanic community is very hard, especially now in the economic situation in the country. I think it's not justice for these kind of people.
The room is a good 7x7. I'm sleeping on a little, it's like an inflatable mattress on top of this like frame thing. It's not the most comfortable thing in the world, but hey, I'm not sleeping on the ground, so it's cool. The risky part now is he lives about 5 miles out, 15 minutes away from the school, so I'm gonna have to do the things under the table. I'm gonna get a car and just drive there. You know, I'm giving myself enough time, no rush, carefully. If I'm late, I'm late.
I didn't even know that was an option. He's like, oh, you don't know the plan? Yeah, I'm gonna take the little black car. I was like, you mean your mom's car? Yeah, the black one. My stomach dropped. I'm just like, oh, please tell me you're kidding me. You know, it's just because, like, first thing runs through my head was, like, he gets pulled over once and he's done.
Yeah. Are we ready for Sam?
Yeah, I think sure. We are.
Today I'm doing my audition for the School of Music.
Hi, Samuel.
Hi. Hi, Samuel. How are you doing?
We just found out that IUSB has a tuition payment plan, so as long as I don't mess up on my audition and can at least make the first payment, I'll be able to start, you know, the music school here in a few weeks.
Why don't you give us a little bit of an idea of what your background is and your aspirations, and then we'll get started.
I feel like music is my place, you know. My thing is, like, I just want to play, you know. I just see myself as a musician for the rest of my life. Maybe years down the road I'll be a teacher and, you know, pass on what I learned through my playing. So, yeah. Well, when you guys are ready, you guys good?
My name
is Dr. Jorge Muñiz. I'm the coordinator of music at the Ernestine M. Racklin School of the Arts at Indiana University South Bend. I think he's done quite an impressive audition. We all thought that it was musical and technically quite fantastic, yeah. So I think he did great.
August 29th, 2009. Dear Samuel, congratulations. I am pleased to inform you that you have been accepted into the music program at the Ernestine M. Racklin School of the Arts at Indiana University of South Bend. This acceptance is based on a careful review of your performance, audition, transcripts, and application. Welcome to IU South Bend. Sincerely, Jorge Muñiz. So, here I am in South Bend.
And it is certainly my pleasure to welcome our beginning freshman.
Everyone seems really nice, and personally I like how everyone says welcome.
Have fun, have a great day, and welcome to IUSB.
Pretty much all of last year I was just thinking that I probably wasn't going to make it to college, and finally that I'm here, it's a little surreal, but I feel iffy. Like, it's almost there. Like, I could be okay, but there's still a lot more money that needs to be in there.
It worries me because he could get in school, get halfway down the road, and then all of a sudden they realize he can't afford it and be like, oh, hey, you know, we can't let you come here anymore.
About half hour before class started, my parents left me and they're like, all right, we're leaving you $30. Here's your book. We'll take a picture and you'll be on your own. All right. It hit me a little bit of that I'm by myself, but I got this.
Sam's story was produced by Dan Collison and Elizabeth Meister of Long Haul Productions. The coordinating editor was Katie Davis. Portions of Sam's story have also been produced for Latino USA. If you missed part of this program, or if you'd like to hear it again, you can. Just visit us online at soundprint.org. We have listening links and links to more information there. The address again is soundprint.org. Soundprint is produced by the Soundprint Media Center in association with WAMU and American University. We love getting your emails. Keep them coming. I'll be reading some on the air soon, so don't forget to include your hometown and the station you use for your Soundprint fix. The address to contact us is talkback@soundprint.org. CDs of Soundprint episodes can be purchased. Give us a call at 1-888-38-TAPES, and we'll mail out your favorites. That number again is 1-888-38-TAPES, or you can order online at soundprint.org. Soundprint is production assistant Nkechi Mogekwu and audio engineer Jared Weisbrot. Our executive producer is Moira Rankin. I'm Lisa Simeone.